Hey everyone, thanks for joining us online. It's great to have you with us again here today. And today I want to talk about social justice or social injustice. And there's an incident that happened in Minneapolis a couple of days ago. And there's a guy named George Floyd, and a shopkeeper called the police on him because he felt like the guy had tried to pass a phony $20 bill. And so the police came and seemed like everything was kind of cordial and going okay, but it ended up at this spot where George Floyd was down on the ground and the policeman had his knee up against his neck, and this guy's crying out saying, "Oh, I can't breathe, and it turned out that he actually died. And so people are pretty upset about this and are rioting in Minneapolis and burning down buildings and looting, and boy, it's just crazy. And this, of course, is something that is a problem. It's been a problem in our society for a long time, perhaps forever, just that there's racism, there's resentment between races, there's all kinds of problems that we have just trying to live together and work together. And it's hard to know sometimes what the best response is to that, the Christian response. And so I want to think about that here today and just look at some scriptures and just help us sort through this, because I think it's important in how we, not just how we change as a society, but how we change individually. And so let's pray, ask God to use this time here. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would just bless here this morning, and God, that we would hear from you. You would help us just to realize places that we have racist positions, places that we're unloving, that we're unkind. And God, help us to just be able to learn from that, to grow and change. And I pray that you just keep transforming us and making us more and more like you. And as we try to live out being in your kingdom while we're still citizens of another kingdom, God, just sometimes that's hard to know how to navigate all that. So I pray that you would lead and guide us. Pray these scriptures would come alive to us and really impact us greatly. I ask all this in Jesus' name. All right, the first thing I want to think about is just how we need to see all people as valuable. And we can go back to the beginning of Genesis. Genesis 1:27 says that God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And so man was different than the animals. The animals were created each after their own kind, whatever that means. But there's a distinction there with mankind, and it says that mankind was created in the image of God. That was something special. A little bit later in Genesis, it says, "And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from every human being too. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God, God has made mankind." And God's taking this idea, saying how we were created in the image of God. And he's saying, because of this, that mankind is special. And if someone takes the life of a human, then their life will be demanded of them. Whether it's another person or if it's an animal, both will be held accountable because there's something special. And so this is where we get the idea of capital punishment or the death penalty. And this is certainly the way things were set up in the Old Testament. And we're not going to go into, I guess, what the New Testament position would be. But it's interesting to think about just that God is that serious about human life that he set this rule in place. And he doesn't just say, "Hey, this is for the Jewish people," or "This is for the white people," or "This is for the nice people. These are the rules for the people who are, you know, really good about living well in society." This is the rule for all human life. All human life is special. No matter what color, no matter what country we're from, we're all special in God's eyes because we're created in his image. So there's something special about us. In the New Testament, Colossians 3:11 says, "Here, there's no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." And so it's saying, hey, we're all on a level plane. For them, it would have been a big deal, not black and white, but Jewish and non-Jewish, or Jewish and Greek, or circumcised and uncircumcised. And so, you know, Paul's being really strong here, saying, hey, we're all the same. Even taking it to the length of saying a barbarian is in the same group, and then bringing up Scythians, who I guess are even worse than barbarians. They make the barbarians look like nannies or something. So he's really clear here. You know, we are all valuable in God's eyes, every single one of us. And we need to think about that as we think about people of different races, people of different economic statuses, people of different educational backgrounds. We're all valuable in God's eyes. And I think we know that and understand that, but I think sometimes it's hard for us to understand that the other side doesn't always feel like we're treating them as equals. And I think that gives us cause to listen. So our next point is that we need to listen to and understand both sides. And this is going to be a little bit controversial as we talk through this a little bit, but we really need to hear and understand what the other side is saying. And I think it's pretty easy not to do that. I think I've shared this story with you guys before, but one time, I think I was in sixth grade in Mr. Michael's class, and a girl in the class who kind of shouted out to the rest of us during a free time or something, and she's like, "Hey, who took my money?" And I looked over at her, and I started smiling and laughing. I've just always had a hard time smiling at inappropriate times. And so then she assumed that I took her money, but I hadn't taken her money. And pretty shortly, the teacher got involved, and he asked me, he's like, "Steve, did you take her money?" I'm like, "No, I didn't take it." And he looked at the girl, and he's like, "Well, why are you accusing him?" She's like, "Well, he's laughing. He obviously did it, and he thinks it's funny." And the teacher, thankfully, said, "Well, actually, I took it." And he had walked by her desk and had seen this envelope sitting there, and it had money written across it in big letters. And so he took the money to teach her a lesson that, hey, you need to be discreet when you have an envelope full of money, and you need to put it in a safe place. And so he was teaching her a lesson, but he taught me a lesson too. And that lesson is, you know, boy, you got to be careful about judging people, because I'm sure people in that class, you know, probably half of them thought I was in the wrong, because she's right. I was smiling. I thought it was funny for whatever reason. I don't know. That's how my mind works. And maybe the other half is like, "No, Steve would never do that. He's got his problems, but that's not one of them, and he wouldn't steal somebody's money." And how easy it is to take one side or the other, but you really kind of have to hear the whole story. Just this morning, I was reading in 2 Samuel. It's the story of when David is being run out of his own city, and he's fleeing because someone else wants to be the king. And so he's headed out, and there's a guy, Ziba, the steward of Mephibosheth, and he sees David, and he says to David, "Hey, Mephibosheth is staying in Jerusalem because he thinks today the house of Israel will give me back my grandfather's kingdom." So he was the grandson of Saul. And so his steward, or his caretaker, because he's a crippled guy, this caretaker is saying, "Hey, Mephibosheth, you know, he doesn't care about you. He's glad that someone else wants to be king, because he's upset because Saul's throne was taken over. And so he's kind of bitter about the whole thing." And so, you know, my thought is, well, Mephibosheth, you know, he's a jerk. You know, what's wrong with this guy? And then a little bit later, then David goes back into the city, and he's coming back into his kingdom, and he's going to be restored as king. And Mephibosheth shows up, and he's giving an explanation for why he's there. He says, "My lord the king, since I, your servant, am lame, I said, I will have my donkey saddle and I'll ride on it so I can go with the king. But Ziba, my servant, betrayed me." And so what he's saying now is actually he wanted to go with the king the first time, but he couldn't because he was crippled, and he wanted to go get on to his donkey, and evidently his servant just took off instead of going and getting the donkey. And so, you know, at first it's like, Mephibosheth, oh, he's a jerk. And then you hear his side, it's like, maybe not. You know, maybe the servant's the bad guy. And at the end of the story, I guess you don't really know who's telling the truth, but it's always helpful to realize, oh, there are two sides to a story. I think we need to understand that. If you took away one thing from the message today, maybe that would be a valuable thing to take away. Is there's always two sides, and we need to understand both sides. It goes on, he says, "My servant is slandered, your servant to the Lord the King. All my grandfather's descendants deserve nothing but death from my Lord the King, but you gave your servant a place among those who sat at your table." And so he's saying there, you have treated my family well, and you've treated me well, and so I'm on your side. So we need to be careful. Proverbs 18:17 says, "The first to present his case seems right till another comes forward and questions him." And we really see that in the example of Mephibosheth, that when we see the first guy, we're like, oh, he's right. And then someone else comes forward and questions that and says, no, you know, here's how it really happened. Like, oh, okay, that's helpful. So let's think of some examples of that. And this is where I might get stoned. We'll see. This is Colin Kaepernick. He's famous for a few years ago. He's a quarterback. And during the national anthem, he took a knee. And he was trying to make a statement saying, you know, Black Lives Matter, and we've been mistreated. And I don't think that's the right thing to do. And I think it was disrespectful to our country and to people who serve to defend our country. So I'm not saying good for him by any means. But I do think it's valuable for us to just stop and say, you know what? Let's not just shut him down, but let's listen to him. What's his point? Why is this a big deal? Why does he feel like that the black people have been treated unfairly? Is there any legitimacy to that? And I think it would be good to hear out people like that and to really try to understand their position, no matter your color. We can think of more examples of similar things. Glory Road, we've probably all seen that movie because of the El Paso connection, but Texas Western was the first team to win a national championship with mostly black players. And so, wow, it was a pretty radical thing. Remember in that movie, I think there's a guy that gets beat up in the bathroom just because he's black. And I think just for us to realize situations like that, it's like, you know, as a white guy, I can't relate to that. That's hard for me to understand. And to think that just because we're a couple decades later, that everything's all better and that black people are treated the same, I don't think that's right. I think they've been mistreated for many, many years. And we need to understand that they still feel that. And I think what can happen is they say, hey, we're being mistreated. And it's easy for us to be like, well, no, we're not prejudiced anymore. And I'm not that way. I like black people. And for us to kind of take this attitude of, no, you're wrong. Well, I think there are times that sometimes people, you know, pull the race card a little too early or too often. But I think it would still be good for us to stop and listen, because there are times that we still mistreat black people. And there are times we mistreat people of Hispanic background, and times we mistreat people of all kinds of nationalities. And there are times that those people mistreat us, and that's just the way people are. We're really broken, and it's okay to just stop and recognize, you know what? We got problems. We got problems. When I was in high school, I read a book about a guy named Vincent Matthews, and he was a quarter miler in track and field, and I think won a couple different medals in two different Olympics. And this is a picture of him on the victory stand while the national anthem's playing, and you can see he's not showing a lot of respect to the flag. And it's kind of interesting, because as I read through his book, I didn't really get the sense of, oh, here's this guy that hates America, or he hates soldiers, or he hates people who died for our country, or he's bitter, he doesn't appreciate all the benefits that he's received from the country. I didn't get that flavor at all. But I just got the flavor just at this moment in time, he's just kind of like, there's some situations where my people have not been treated fairly. And he just wanted to make a statement. And so he and his buddy didn't stand at attention and kind of chatted through the national anthem. I don't think that's respectful. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's right, but I don't think we should shut him off because of that. I think it would be good to hear his side. And I think it's good to hear both sides. And when we think of the George Floyd situation, when I watch the video, I think, that policeman used too much force, and that wasn't right, and that was murder, and he should be held accountable. And that's my first impression. But I haven't heard the policeman's side, and I think it's right to hear both sides. And I don't know what's going on in the guy's mind. I don't know if he's racist. I don't know who he's married to. He could have a black wife. His best friend could be black. He could hang out with a whole bunch of black people. Maybe he loves black people. I don't know. And I wasn't there. I know his knee was on the guy's neck, but I don't know how hard he was pushing down. I assume that George Floyd died from asphyxiation, but I don't really know that. He could have had a heart attack. I know he was talking, so I think he could breathe a little bit. You know, I don't know. And I'm not saying the guy's innocent. We should let him off. I'm just saying you should always hear both sides. And I think there are many times that police have been accused of things that they were just trying to do the best that they could. And I think there are many times that there have been corrupt policemen or bad policemen or policemen who made the wrong choice at the wrong time, and they're human just like everybody. But I will say, we need to listen to both sides, not just one. Lastly, just that we need to work at treating people right. Romans 12:16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And people could be of low position in our minds for a lot of different reasons. It could be because of race. It could be because they're not at the same economic level or the same social level, or they're not at the same intelligence level, academic level, whatever. But for us to not think of ourselves too highly and be willing to associate with people who we or others would view as being of low position. I think that's something that doesn't come naturally to us, something we need to work at. Proverbs 31:8 says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." And I think we should speak up for those who can't speak for themselves because maybe of their social status, maybe because of their age, maybe even for the unborn, for anyone who doesn't have a voice or doesn't have as strong of a voice as we could lend to it. I think it's right for us to jump in and to speak up for and defend those who are being mistreated. Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And I just like that phrase, release the oppressed. You know, we have a lot of people in our society who feel oppressed, and instead of saying, "No, you're not oppressed, you're fine," I think to help release them from the oppression that they've been under and to talk to people and to understand them and figure out where they're coming from and not just say, no, that's not really happening. Luke 6:31, Jesus said, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." And I think this is the key, really. It's the golden rule. And for us to be able to do that, we've got to some level put ourselves in their shoes, understand their situation, to be able to be compassionate and to know how we can treat them in a way that's loving and caring. Galatians 2:12 is when Peter was treating the non-Jews kind of with discontent. He had kind of hung out with them and said, "Hey, you guys are my buds and stuff," and ate meals with them and stuff. But then there were some people who were going to come and visit who were Jewish people and didn't associate with Gentiles as much. And then he's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I'm not going to eat with the Gentiles. That would look bad." And Paul called him out on this and says, "You know, that is not the way that a Christian acts. We don't do that. That's hypocrisy." And that's just another example. It's just so easy for us to do. James 2:1 says, "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" And I remember one time at the Greeley Church, I think I've shared this story with you as well, but back when I was in Greeley, Colorado, there was a guy who came in and visited the church one day, and he was kind of a homeless sort of guy, and just, I was really proud, probably in a bad way, proud of just how people talked to him and were kind to him and just tried to treat him just like anybody else. And I tried to be nice to him. And I think we had a football game after church or something that we were going to watch together, invited him to stay and to eat with us and things. And he had to go. And so he told me, "Yeah, you know, I'm going to go walk home, and I live over here a mile and a half away," or something. I'm like, "Okay, well, great. You know, thanks for coming. Good to see you." And we went ahead and stayed at the church and watched the football game. And later on in the day, I was thinking about it. And again, just kind of proud of myself. Like, our church treated him well, and I treated him well. I'm a good guy. And then as I thought about it, I'm like, well, did I treat him just like I would have treated anybody else? And the reality is, if he was a peer, and if he was of the same social status as me, if he wasn't a homeless guy, I would have given him a ride home. I would have said, "That's crazy. You shouldn't be walking a mile or a mile and a half away to go home." I would have given him a ride. And I didn't do that. And I didn't do that because I was proud and because I looked down on him. And even though I was consciously trying not to do that and trying to make him feel loved and feel welcome, I didn't succeed in that. And so just it's something that we have to work at. I don't think we can assume, no, I'm not prejudiced. No, I never look down on anyone else. I think it would be safer to say, I probably do. I probably look down on a lot of people. And just to realize that and to work hard at combating that. And again, just big picture, I think just to realize that's something we have to work at, to make sure that we listen to the other side and understand them, and to realize they're valuable in God's eyes. Everybody's valuable in God's eyes. And to try to have that same mindset with people, just to see them as children of God and not just people who are poor or people who are uneducated or people who are of a different race or anything like that. I hope that helps you as you process through this current situation or other similar situations. And I should probably also mention, I think burning down buildings and rioting and looting is bad. And the two wrongs don't make a right. But man, it's a crazy situation. And I think a lot of people genuinely are afraid and feel mistreated. And we should listen to them and try to understand them. So let's pray. God, we thank you for this time here. And God, I thank you just for the many blessings you've given us and for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. And I thank you for this nation. God, what a blessing. But God, I just recognize that our nation still has problems. And God, just ask for help with those problems. And I know that there's a lot of crisis going on right now in Minneapolis. God, I pray that you would bring hope and bring healing and understanding, and God, that even just big picture, this would result in the two sides understanding each other and just more compassion and more love and more healing in our country. And so lift that up to you. Pray also just for our own hearts. God, I know in my own heart that I can still have ugliness, even though on the surface I think, I'm not prejudiced. I don't think that way. I'm fine. I just want to acknowledge that I'm sure that's not true. I'm sure I have issues still and I need to grow, and we all need to grow. And I pray you'd help us to be humble about that. Help us not to judge other people's response, to shut them down and to not listen to them, but to hear and to understand people. So we thank you for this time. Love you. Thank you for just how practical your word is and how it helps us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name.